The test is in four parts, part one, part two, part three, and part four. Now look at part one.
Part one.
Listen to the conversation between Bob Wills, who is a foreign student advisor at a language school, and Angela Tung, who is a student, and complete the form. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 8 on the form now. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 8.
Hello, Foreign Student Advisor's Office. This is Bob Wills speaking. Can I help you?
It's Angela Tung here, Bob. I'd like to make a request for special leave. Can I do that over the phone?
Hello, Angela. You can make that request by phone, but I'll have to fill the form out. Let me get the special leave form. Okay, here it is. Tell me your student number, please.
It's H for Harry, 5712.
H5712. Okay. What's your address, Angela?
I live at 10 Bridge Street, Tamworth.
10 Bridge Street, Tamworth. And your phone number?
The telephone number's 8106745.
Thanks. What course are you doing?
I'm in the writing class.
Writing. Who's your teacher this term?
Mrs. Green. She spells her name like the colour.
Thanks. When does your student visa expire?
Let me look. July 15.
July 15. Okay. Which term do you want to take leave?
Do you want dates?
First, I have to write a term number. When do you want to take leave?
In term one.
Okay. Term one. Now, can you tell me what are the exact dates?
I'd like to be away May 31 to June 4.
Okay, I've got that. You'll miss 4 working days between May 31 and June 4. Is that right?
Only 3. I'll be away over a weekend. I'll be back at my classes on June 5, so that's 3 days away.
Look at questions 9 to 12. Now listen to more of the conversation between Angela and Bob.
Why do you want to take leave, Angela?
I'm going to visit my Aunt May. She's my mother's sister. She and her husband are my guardians while I'm here.
Where do they live?
About 50 kilometres from here, near Armidale.
Do you have to take so long if they live nearby?
My mother is coming with me. She's come for a holiday, so she wants to have some time with May. And I want to spend some time with my mother, too.
Aren't you going home soon?
I've applied to extend my time here. I expect to go home in 12 months.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear a tour guide talking to her tour group. First, you will have time to look at questions 11 to 15. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 15.
Well, we certainly have a busy day ahead of us, so let's get started, shall we? You'll find a map of the museum with the itinerary I've just handed out. The museum's our first port of call, so let's have a look at the map now. The door on the right of the entrance hall leads into the gift shop and ticket centre. Once we pick up our entrance tickets, I'd ask everyone to deposit their bags and coats in the cloakroom, which is located towards the back of the gift shop and ticket centre. If you want to pick up an information leaflet, you can approach the information desk situated along the right-hand side. Now, once you come back into the entrance hall, the door on the opposite side to the gift shop leads into the art gallery. There is a special exhibition on there at the moment, which is not to be missed. If you continue on up the entrance hallway, that leads into the main exhibition centre. At the back left-hand side, there are some toilets. Beside the toilets, you'll find the 3D theatre. I strongly recommend that you make time for the 30-minute presentation in the theatre. It is well worth a viewing. Running along the right-hand side of the main exhibition centre is the Modern Art Studio. Here, not only can you view some of the most famous works of the 20th century, but you can also sit in on a workshop run by a local artist. So, that's the Art Museum.
Before you hear the rest of the discussion, you have some time to look at questions 16 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 16 to 20.
Next on the itinerary is the aquarium. Depending on how long we spend at the museum, we might have to give this one a miss. It's not what I'd call a highlight of the day, but it would be a shame if we didn't get to see it, as it's en route to the Solheim Country Club, where we're booked in for lunch at 1 o'clock. Originally, we had planned to stop off at the Milltown Winery afterwards, but we've had to scrap that plan. Otherwise, we'd never get to the Zoological Gardens before closing time. We have pre-booked the gardens and must be there by 2:30, so no dilly-dallying, please, after lunch. Straight back onto the bus. The gardens close at 3:30, so we've an hour there, which should give us ample time to look around. Time allowing, we'll stop off at the famous Stout Brewery after that, if traffic isn't too heavy, and we're in Lincoln before 5. If not, we'll head straight for the National Concert Hall, where you're in for a real treat of an evening, with a performance from the world-renowned cellist, Andrei Borovsky. We have to be in our seats by 6:30 sharp. After that, it's back to the hotel for the night, where a buffet meal will be waiting for us at 8:30, or whenever we get back.
That is the end of part two.
You now have 30 minutes to check your answers.
now turns to part three.
Part three.
You are going to hear a lecture.
First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Christendom being settled by the Romans explains their lust for blood.
By about AD 200, the administration of Britain was divided in two. York became the capital of Britannia Inferior and London of Britannia Superior. Around the same time, the city also acquired its famous walls, probably about 20 foot high.
Why did they build such high walls?
It was a protective measure which may have been due to civil war, initiated when Governor Claudius Albinus tried to claim the imperial crown in Rome.
Was paganism still predominant then?
Yes, but Christianity appears to have reached the province at an early date, and only a year after the religion became officially tolerated in the empire, London had its own bishop, Restitutus, who is known to have attended the Imperial Council of Arles.
You really delve deep. I think you'll do well on your tutorial paper.
It's a great pleasure to welcome back Ms. Mary Kirk, who is a professional health advisor and physical education officer.
Thank you, Peter, for the introduction. It's a pleasure to be back. Today we're going to discuss the benefits of exercise. University life is hectic and stressful. It also involves a lot of sedentary work, that is, sitting for many hours at a time. What I'd like to focus on is how to approach exercise, not only from the aspect of health benefits, but also as a form of stress relief. I know it's hard to organise your time around studies and socialising, but you can socialise while exercising. If you have an hour free in the morning, afternoon or evening, it would be a good idea to get together with your friends and create a sports team.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 26 to 30.
The grounds of the university are ample enough to support every student's need to become active. There are also readily available facilities at your disposal, such as a football field, tennis and badminton courts. There's also a swimming centre, and within that building is a gymnasium, with a variety of programmes, such as aerobics and weight training. If the idea of attending one of these facilities seems daunting, then you can walk along the river. Oh, and that reminds me, the university also offers rowing. If there is a sport that you're interested in that's not on offer, you can approach either your student union representative or speak with Sports Administration Manager, Mr. Lawrence Cavendish. Now, I want to talk about why exercise is beneficial, physically and emotionally. The obvious results are physical. You can keep fit by using muscles that ordinarily don't get used in the classroom. The health benefits are astronomical. You'll live longer, be happier, and look good. By building muscle, you strengthen your bones, a definite advantage for women in their later stages of life, as women are prone to osteoporosis. It also strengthens your heart. Yes, don't forget, your heart is a muscle. And the more exercise you do and the harder you work, the more blood is pumped from your heart to your brain. Now this brings me to the psychological advantages of exercise. When we are active, endorphins are released into our brain. An endorphin is a chemical that is released when your heart rate is pumping beyond its normal capacity. It's the same as adrenaline. You can actually feel when endorphins kick in. You feel a rush, almost a high. The benefits of this are numerous. Your brain works at peak capacity for a longer period of time. Your awareness is maximized, and the fatigue you usually feel at 4 o'clock in the afternoon will be non-existent. In one word, exercise makes you sharp. Now, I'm not saying that you should overdo exercise, because too much of anything can be dangerous. But if you think about your daily routine, you spend about 6 hours a day in lectures and another 2 or more hours studying. That's a long time to be sitting. And that is a long time for your body not to be moving around. So try and find at least 1 hour a day to get some exercise. If you can't fit in 1 hour a day, try 1 hour every second day or half an hour a day. You will see rewards instantly. You'll feel great and look great. This I can promise you.
That is the end of part three.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part four.
Part four.
Listen to the following lecture about lightning.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
In earliest times, men considered lightning to be one of the great mysteries of nature. Some ancient people believed that lightning and thunder were the weapons of God. In reality, lightning is a flow of electricity formed high above the earth. A single flash of lightning 1.6 kilometers long has enough electricity to light 1 million light bulbs. The American scientist and statesman Benjamin Franklin was the first to show the connection between electricity and lightning in 1752. In the same year, he also built the first lightning rod. This device protects buildings from damage by lightning. Modern science has discovered that one stroke of lightning contains more than 15 million volts. A spark between a cloud and the earth may be as long as 13 kilometers and travels at a speed of 30 million meters per second. Scientists estimate that there are about 2,000 million flashes of lightning per year. Lightning hits the Empire State Building in New York City 30 to 48 times a year. In the United States alone, it kills an average of one person every day. The safest place to be in case of an electrical storm is in a closed car. outside, one should go to low ground and not under trees. Also, one should stay out of water and away from metal fences. Inside a house, people should avoid opening doorways and windows and not touch wires or metal things. With lightning, it is better to be safe than sorry.
That is the end of part 4.